that, you know, it's going to take more education. It's going to take more push from older cashers to make sure that the younger cashers understand that there are certain things that apply, and common sense is one of them.
So it seems to come down to education, not only formal education on how to use a DPS receiver, but on etiquette. And Sloga does hold at least two geocaching 101 classes for people who want to learn to use their DPS receiver and how to geocache, as well as the peer pressure, you know, a positive peer pressure, and that news groups and websites offer suggestions on the best way to do a hide before you go out and do it and make a mistake and do it the wrong way and upset some people.
I think another change that we've seen here in the St. Louis area is people are, you know, they feel more comfortable with the group than in the early days, you know. In the early days, I think that, you know, the group, like I said, we were viewed as a bunch of techno geeks that ran around in the woods with high-powered toys and to find things. And I think now, you know, people are starting to relax more. They see it as a family activity. They see it as a good, viable outdoor sport that gets them out there. And so I think they're not afraid to ask the questions, you know. And we get that quite often here in St. Louis. We get people that ask, you know, in the news group, for instance, hey, I want to do my first hide. I got some ideas. Can you kind of help me out? And it's a good thing to know that, you know, five or six people will respond giving someone advice. Sometimes it's not always the advice they want, but...
Right. I think somebody said you'll get one or two good answers, then a whole bunch of silly answers after that.
Yeah, exactly. So they have to kind of weed through that. But, you know, it's good to know that they're not intimidated by a group. You know, they can actually feel that, you know, even though they're brand new, they can ask us questions and they feel... Yeah, good about it.
You were Sloga president for a while. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how things changed under your rule?
Well, you know, I was asked to do this by Glenn and Rich. I guess they had this idea that they thought I would be good at doing it. And I was kind of hesitant. For one thing, I was new to the whole sport. When they asked me to do this, they said that, you know, with experience and forming, you know, different committees and working with different events and things like that, and working with youth groups, we think that, you know, it would be a good fit to grow Sloga. Well, we never really had any direction or mission or vision or anything like that. Caught a lot of resistance in the beginning. A lot of it was due to people said, why do we need a group to geocache? You know, we don't need a formal group that pays dues or anything like that. I mean, to this day, we still don't pay dues. But, you know, I think it was more to benefit the community than it was the group of cachers. I think that the reason that we really wanted to do this was we wanted to formalize our education. You know, we wanted to show the land managers that we had it together and that we were a responsible group, not just a bunch of individuals running around throwing Tupperware boxes and ammo cans everywhere. So I was very resistant to make any change at all, I mean, when I first came in. And I think the reason for that was because it had been done this way, you know, since the beginning. There was the resistance of a lot of people saying we don't need to have a group, a formal group, in order to geocache. So it wasn't like it was like, you know, hey, the door's wide open, do whatever you want to do. I came up with some ideas and met some resistance with it. But, you know, it's all learning is what it is. I mean, everybody learns, you know, in their own capacity. And, you know, not every idea I came up with was always a good idea. Sometimes they weren't a good idea, and people let me know that. And so, you know, I learned a lot by doing that, taking on that role and responsibility. And it took about a year for me to really feel comfortable in the shoes to even call myself a president of Sloga. I would dare not even say that in the beginning. Felt like I was just a figurehead, you know. I was just kind of thrown out there saying, okay, now we have someone we can call the president of the group. We look more formal. Now let's just still continue to do our own thing. There's probably some people out there that hold some things against me right now for some of the decisions that I made. One of the things that I really wanted to do right off the bat was I had this big, huge idea that we were going to form all these different operating committees, you know. So we're going to have a committee for activities. We're going to have a committee for finance and fundraising, you know. And I thought, wow, this will be great. Well, the problem is you can't get anybody to volunteer. And so it was very frustrating. So I think I took that frustration out of a membership, you know. I know that there was a couple of cashers that I really upset because I just told them, you know, that, hey, You know, I think that, you know, people who don't roll up their sleeves and help out their local group, you know, are nothing more than leeches and losers, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, something I regret that I've always said, you know. But I think I let my temper get the best of me. But, you know, again, it was a learning thing, you know. I didn't want to upset anyone, but, you know, I listened to some people early on. I made some decisions early on, and I was hoping to get all these operating committees and really just grow this out. And, I mean, education was the main thing. We wanted to educate the community on geocaching. We wanted to bring some people in, grow the group, not just to grow the group to say, hey, we got 500 people in our group, but to grow it so that we could have new ideas and new blood, and we could have new volunteers. And so after about the first year of being really frustrated with everything, I think I just kind of settled back and I said, I'm just going to let it come to me. I'm not going to go out and push it anymore. I'm going to suggest ideas, and we'll see how it goes. And and that's what I did. I relaxed. Everyone else relaxed. And then we started getting some people that step up. I think the problem we still have today, though, is that people consider Schlage to have an elitist group in it, you know. And they're kind of hesitant to try and break into that. They don't really want to necessarily volunteer for something. You know, they come to a luncheon or... You know, and then they find out, you know, we're not the evil people behind the keyboard that everybody thinks we are. And I think we need to overcome that. I think that, you know, by becoming a group that is inclusive instead of exclusive, you know, even though we really never have been exclusive, I think that it was viewed that way for a while. And a lot of that had to do because the same people were doing all the work.
And Schlage as a group, most of the time I've seen people say we just want to keep it informal or semi-formal. So the struggle is to even just keep it semi-formal so that the interface with the land managers, all the education, still is taken care of while you're catering to the other members who just want to cash in the weekend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a good example is that you hear people that say, you know, well, I don't really want to pay dues, but if Schlage needs money, I'd be glad to donate. And it's like a $30 donation that you make once a year or a $20 due is really, you know, basically the same thing, only you're paying more money with a donation than you would
have
due.
Yeah.
One of the things that we had to do that was, at least in the last year that I was president, we had to actually formalize Schlage. And that meant actually becoming a nonprofit organization in the state of Missouri. And one of the reasons for that was because of the events that we hold. We have elected officers at any given time before we were formally an incorporation in Missouri. If somebody got hurt, I could be personally liable as being an officer of Schlage. That was the last thing I wanted, was somebody to go out for a picnic and they're doing a temporary cache and they slide off a bluff and then they sue Schlage, which in turn goes to its officers, and we're responsible for that. So what we looked at doing was, and that wasn't the only reason. The other reason also, of course, was because of finances. We had to have a bank account that wasn't just in one person's name, you know. So in order to do that, I filed all the necessary paperwork with the state of Missouri to become incorporated in Missouri. Now our next step, of course, is to pursue the 501c3, become formally a nonprofit organization recognized by the federal government or the IRS. The sense of urgency behind that's not really as critical. I know the group in Michigan did it. We're not dealing with tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
We're dealing with, you know, small contributions, you know, and for the most part, everything that comes in usually goes out in one form or another. I mean, we're not...
We have nickel and dime expenses, and a lot of times it's pay-as-you-go events.
Right.
You attend, you pay the $5, and that should cover expenses.
Yes. So I think that... But doing that, we managed to get a bank account that can be in St. Louis Area Geocacher Association's name, rather than in an individual's name. You know, just by having that, you know, having a tax letter and stuff and showing people that we are a company, we can tend to get better donations and things like that, too, for any causes that we might do as far as fundraisers down, you know, in the future and whatnot. So it's a good stepping stone to where we need to go.
Well, I guess I have one specific topic left, and that is Moga, but what's coming up in Moga 2006, since that's currently in the works?
Well, MIGC was really based upon an event that Bruce and myself had gone down to Texas to something called the Texas Extravaganza, which was held at Sid Richardson Scout Camp. And basically what it was a geocaching-type competition that was set up like an orienteering course. You looked for punches that you used a GPS for instead of using a map and compass. They had two courses set up. You did one on Saturday and one on Sunday. They combined the scores. The best score won. They also had 20 temporary caches that were hidden out there that you could log against the event. And it was a lot of fun. We went down there. There was people from Oklahoma. There was people from Texas, New Mexico. He had some of us from Missouri. There was people as far away as Ohio that were there at the event. And I think that we, you know, really enjoyed it and stuff. And I said, there's no reason why we can't do something like this in St. Louis. So we were thinking what to do. And at first I wanted to call it the St. Louis Open or the Missouri. You know, kind of kicked around some names, and I said, well, you know, we're the Midwest. Why not put something in the Midwest? So I called it the Midwest Invitational Geocaching Competition, or MIGC. And it was well attended. We had about 90 participants sign up and had some good competitions, gave out some trophies that lasted over a weekend. We got some feedback. And then the next year we did the same thing, only we called it MOGA. And what we did was we wanted to drop the competition out of it, because one of the best phrases I ever heard was, it's kind of like tournament bass fishing. I love to bass fish, but I would never go sign up in a tournament to go bass fishing. So we wanted people to know that it's not all about the competition, that there's a lot of activities you can do outside of the competition. So we decided on a name, and we came up with the Midwest Open Geocaching Adventure. And MOGA, like TOGA, kind of rhymed together and stuff. So we really stuck on that, because it's easy to start going MOGA, MOGA.
Well, now I know where that came from.
Yeah. And then, you know, you hear the chatter on the radios during the event. Everybody's MOGA, MOGA, MOGA. So what it is just trying to bring a bunch of geocachers together that all have a, you know, good common interest in having a good, fun weekend, award some prizes out and some, you know, do a little friendly competition, you know, on a few courses. And we've learned something every year. This will be our third year in 2006 that we put this together, and it's going to be at a wonderful park, Pierre Marquette State Park over in Illinois. It's absolutely a beautiful place, but it's, you know, got some hills. It's, you know, got a lot of terrain.
Reminiscent of MIGC.
Yeah, pretty much. Han was pretty brutal also. If you weren't used to steep grades, then, you know, Pierre Marquette will be another place. But, you know, we're going to have some easy caches that are put out, you know, for those who don't want to tackle the hills. And then we're going to have some more challenging ones for the guys, especially from Minnesota, who are going to come down.
Wouldn't be the same without those guys.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't. They kind of make the event. So we're looking forward to it. It's, you know, we're getting some pretty good feedback already on it, and we're starting to put some things together. So,
when's that going to be held?
It's going to be March 24th, 25th, and 26th. Of 06. It's the last weekend of March at Pierre Marquette State Park in Illinois, and that's located right outside of Grafton, Illinois. So,
and for additional information on that, people can go to moga.gostl.com. Mike, is there anything else you want to add that we didn't cover?
This concludes the Sloga podcast. For more information about the Sloga group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.